This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 362.5, up 1.75. December corn, 372.25, up 3/4. March corn, 385.5, up 0.5. September soybeans, 11.20 1/4, up 4.75. November soybeans, 10.52 3/4, down 5. January soybeans, 10.60 1/2, down 6. September wheat, 5.46, up 3.5. December wheat, 5.58 1/2, up 4.25. March wheat, 5.77 1/4, up 3.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Wheat gained strength from moisture-slowing spring wheat harvest. Corn posted gains from technical buying at the Board of Trade. And with a big crop looming in the future, soybeans closed weaker. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 4 cents at 3.52 to 3.73. Soybean bids were down 5 cents at 11.24 to 12.43. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 12 cents stronger at 3.49 to 3.81, while soybean bids were mostly 5 cents lower at 12.13 to 13.03. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 3.53 to 3.70. Soybean bids ended mixed at 11.63 to 12.20, and the wheat bids 3 to 5 cents stronger at 4.52 to 5.06. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to 15 cents stronger at 12.83 to 13.33, with basis 5 to 20 cents higher, ranging from 2.30 to 2.80 over November. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 478.80 to 489.80, which was up 12.70 to 16.70 per ton, with basis 5 to 9 cents stronger, range from 79 to 90 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 2 to 12 cents higher at 380 to 403, with basis steady to 10 cents stronger at 17 to 40 over September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids up 2 to 4 cents at 380 to 389. Basis steady to 2 cents stronger at 17 to 26 over September. Soybean bids ended mixed along the Illinois River, ranging from 1133 to 1273, with basis steady to 20 cents higher at 80 to 220 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 cents higher at 383 to 398. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 3 to 5 cents, with quotations at 11.93 to 12.45. Soft red winter wheat 3 to 4 cents higher at 4.98 to 5.01, while the Milo ended mixed, ranging from 3.73 to 4.23. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 3.34 to 3.42. New crop soybean bids range from 10.03 to 10.35. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids 3.31 to 3.44. New crop soybeans 10.07 to 10.33. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 3.37 to 3.52, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from 10.21 up to 10.40. That completes our grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 150.50, down $1.20. October live cattle, 147.22, down $1.32. December live cattle, 150.45, down $1.20. August feeder cattle, 217.15, down 87 cents. September feeder cattle, 214.25, down $1.82. October feeder cattle, 213.37, down $2.15. October lean hogs, 94.82, down 27 cents. December lean hogs, 88.62, down 25 cents. February lean hogs, 87.25, up 20 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is David Humphreys of the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday, the 19th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200 pork carcass traded 208 lower in a range of 92 to 102 with a weighted average carcass price of 99.41. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading mostly steady to one higher. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 71 to 75, 4 to 5 weight at 75 to 80, 5 to 6 weight at 78 to 83, and over 600 pounds at 80 to 85. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gelts at country buying points are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 69 to 72 with a few at 73. Receipts for Illinois hogs today have totaled 13,170. The opening report for Shelbyville Livestock Auction, compared to last week, steers and heifers were $5 to $6 lower. Holstein steers were $2 lower. Slaughter steers choice, twos and threes at $155 to $160. Select and choice at $150 to $155. Slaughter Holstein steers choice, twos and threes at $144 to $153.75. Slaughter heifers choice, twos and threes at $154 to $159. And selects at $146 to $154. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on live basis traded at $153. Heifers on live basis traded at $155. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 367 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $109.66, which was $1.36 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading sharply lower. Choice carcasses were $252.91, which is $2.19 lower, with select carcasses at $243.91, which was $2.66 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated $115,000 compared to $116,000 for last week and $125,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $407,000 compared to $408,000 last week and $432,000 1 year ago. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys of the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. August corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.76. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.51. August corn delivered to Scottville, $3.67. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.51. August beans delivered to Greenfield, $12.13. September beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.34. August beans delivered to Scottville, $12.02. September beans delivered to Scottville, $10.34. August wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.65. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.76, corn at Scottville is $3.76, beans at Greenfield are $12.13, beans at Scottville are $12.02, and wheat at Scottville is $4.65. Thank you. For a look at this week's livestock markets, I spoke with Arlen Suderman, market analyst for Water Street Solutions.
Well, as we look at the livestock market, the real question is going to be, where are we going to end up with cash cattle market this week? The technicals or the charts would certainly seem that this is simply a bounce and that we're going to be going lower, and this is a bounce that the traders are looking to sell. The product market has been trending lower, but when you start breaking it down, the product movement has been very strong at these lower prices, and the number of slaughter cattle is so low that it would suggest that we're going to find a floor under these product prices. And the other factor is we're seeing huge packer margins now of $85 plus per head, so they have the cash to chase cash prices higher if they need the cattle. So the question is, do they need the cattle? And one of the things that we're seeing from industry reports is packers are driving long distances to compete with other packers for cattle, driving across state lines a considerable distance, so it would suggest that there's a limited number of cattle out there that they're still fighting over, so we could actually get a rebound in the cash market.
It is definitely a good time to already have cattle owned.
Well, it certainly is, and it's a very unusual time where we see profitability all the way from the cow-calf man all the way up to the packer, and that doesn't happen very often in the beef industry, but is a symptom of the fact that we simply have the smallest cow herd in over six decades, and demand has been more resilient and stronger than what we anticipated that it would be.
Although that is good news that the demand is keeping up even though prices are starting to spike.
That's absolutely right. And as the economy starts to get back on its feet now, it still is being driven by ground beef, but that demand for ground beef appears to be more what we call inelastic. In other words, higher prices simply do not take away people's appetite for a good hamburger. And so we find that retailers are trying to find whatever cuts they can that they can grind up. And that's strong enough with the small supply of cattle, that's strong enough to continue to provide to support the price for box beef.
Right. And what are we looking at in the pork markets?
Well, as we look at the pork market, we saw a very weak cash day yesterday with hogs down anywhere from $1.02 to even $4 and $5 per head in one day's time. So the cash market seems to be kind of falling apart. The product market continues to trend lower with just an occasional bounce. Belly prices have been good, but the other cuts have been under considerable weakness. The carcass weights have been heavy, running 5 to 6% above year-ago levels, and that's helping meet the needs. But when we now that the August contract is off the board, we're seeing that traders are saying, you know, that lead October contract is already $20 below where the cash mark cash index is. And the deferred contracts are $25 to $30 below. Maybe we need to consolidate in here a little bit and see if the cash market's going to come all the way down to us, because we anticipate there's going to be a larger hole in supplies probably later in September due to the PED virus problems that we saw earlier in this year.
And I have seen that the futures markets for hogs do seem to be trending lower than they have in the past months.
Well, absolutely, because they're worried just about the supply, that maybe the market overdid it and the cash market isn't going to support futures prices at that level. But as I said, the futures market is already trading at a $20 to $30 discount to the cash market, depending on the contract. So that's why we're getting a little bit of a firming in here today, just saying maybe we've gone too far too fast.
And have people been more cautious to buy pork at higher prices?
I think one of the things that's hurt us on the pork side has been the export market. The exports have really dropped off, and that's partially been because of the high prices, but also because of the strength of the dollar. And pork prices are very sensitive to the strength of the dollar in the global markets. And right now we're seeing the dollar trade at its highest level that we've seen really since last September. And so that's making it tough to export pork. Meanwhile, beef export demand has remained relatively strong.
Suderman also gave a rundown of what we're seeing in the grain markets this week.
Well, the big story this week is the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. That's what traders are chatting about. Some of them are actually on the tour. Others are getting their reports directly from the tour. And that is the biggest influence that we're seeing this week. Overall, so far, the good yield results have killed the rally attempt in corn and I think leave us vulnerable to dropping to new lows. And in soybeans, where the trade has always been sentiment, but traders were somewhat afraid that as early as it is and as dry as it is, that maybe the pods weren't there, or they're getting confirmation now that the pods are there, at least so far in the tour. And so they're going ahead and starting to price that bearish sentiment into the market. So overall, it's a negative day as the Pro Farmer Tour scouts working both in the western and eastern parts of the Midwest, working toward the center, are confirming that we probably have got some pretty big crops out there.
All right. Very interesting, because I know some farmers were taking a look at in their fields and shaking their heads, wondering where all these good crops are apparently coming from. But it's in the fields, as this tour is showing.
Well, then that's something we've been trying to tell farmers for quite some time. Yes, we know that there are some areas out there with some problems, but what matters is the total crop size and versus demand. And when you look at the total crop, there are more than enough really good areas to totally offset the negative areas or the bad areas. For example, we've got areas in Illinois that will yield 50% over trend. Well, 50% over trend will make up for a lot of acres that are at trend or 5 or 10% below trend. And that's what it's difficult to take some time if you're in an area with problems. But that's the big picture that we have to stay focused on, because that's what's going to have the biggest impact on price.
And, of course, price also relies heavily on the demand for that product. Are we seeing demand down this year due to the low livestock numbers?
Overall, we're seeing demand resurge and be very strong. And it's doing. I was the biggest demand bull, or one of the biggest demand bulls, for quite some time, 6 to 8 months ago. And it's even exceeding my expectations. But the size of the crop is even bigger. So while, as we look at the new crop ending stocks projections, I am by no means bullish the market. I think we're going to have plenty of corn to meet that rising demand. I think once the market has priced in the size of the crop, it's going to be surprising how much demand there is. But that could mean that we go down to 285 and rally back 75 cents, but that would still put us at or below where we're currently at for prices.
And with the low prices, I know many farmers will be looking to store the crop until better prices come along, which means that they could be looking at a lot of ground storage in this year.
Absolutely. And one of my biggest concerns going forward is not just the break in the futures price that we're vulnerable to yet, but the break in the basis. Frequently when you get storage problems, what a lot of farmers will do will be to price corn on a delayed pricing contract. And what that does is turn over ownership of the grain, as many farmers do it around the Midwest, so that the buyer never has to bid up the basis in order to get it. So I'm very concerned about the weakness in basis that we could see this fall. And I don't want to just be a bearer of bad news, but this is the message that we've been saying for quite some time, so that farmers could prepare themselves and manage that risk exposure.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. The weekly Illinois crop and weather report was released. Scattered showers continued throughout the state for the week of August 17th. The southeast part of the state received nearly 2 inches of precipitation, while the northwest received 1/10 of an inch. There were 5.3 days suitable for field work, which allowed farmers time to cut hay. Statewide precipitation averaged 1.04 inches, 0.15 inches above normal. The average temperature was 69.4 degrees, 4.4 degrees below normal. Corn in the dough stage reached 86% compared to the 5-year average of 76%. Corn dented reached 34% compared to the 5-year average of 38%. Corn condition was rated at 80% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 96% compared to the 5-year average of 95%. Soybean setting pods reached 89%, ahead of the 5-year average of 79%. Soybean condition was rated at 78%, good to excellent. Sorghum headed reached 81% and sorghum turning color reached 46%. Oat harvest was 93% complete compared to the 5-year average of 95%. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 6% poor, 27% fair, 53% good, and 13% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 5% very short, 16% short, 69% adequate, and 10% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 3% very short, 24% short, 68% adequate, and 5% surplus. As farmers and landowners await the sign-up period for crop insurance under the new Farm Bill, there are all sorts of questions cropping up about the many facets of the crop insurance program. I spoke with Jonathan Kappas with the University of Illinois Department of Agricultural and Consumer Economics to clear up the situation a bit.
Yeah, so there's what we look at are basically three categories or levels of decision. The landowners need to make a decision about whether or not to reallocate base acres across the program crops on the farm. The landowner also needs to decide whether they want to update payment yields to 90% of the more recent yields that we've seen. And then you've got the third level of this then is the program decision. Which program do you want to have operating on your farm for the Title I safety net? And the choices are between a price-based, it's called price loss coverage, it's a counter-cyclical price type program, or two different versions of a revenue program. agriculture risk coverage revenue programs. One of them's at the county level. One is at the individual whole farm or all program crop level.
And then within those, there's also a whole bunch of decisions you need to make and also a whole bunch of things to factor into it. For instance, with the individual ARC program, it's not on a crop-by-crop basis.
That's correct. Individual ARC is all the program crops on the farm. And it's the only, it's an all-in or all-out program. If you want to be an individual ARC, then all the program crops on that farm. And as you just heard in the questions, we're not talking about, you know, your farm as in what you operate, but it's what FSA has as a farm. So each FSA farm can make a different decision. But yeah, if you're going to put it in their individual ARC program, they add across the program crops. So you have to have all those program crops for that farm that you have base acres for. Those are all in the same program together. Whereas the PLC, the price loss coverage program, and the county level revenue program, ARC program, those can be commodity by commodity. You could actually have one on one commodity and the other on another commodity on the farm.
Now, each farm is different in management practices, so what coverage would be best for them is going to differ. But as a generalized blanket statement, which one would you think is kind of the best route for farmers in the Midwest or in Illinois to go with right now?
Well, with the caveat and caution of making any generalized blanket statement, particularly at this point in time, and we don't know where prices and frankly where yields are going to be. What we have seen as we've run through different forecasts and estimates is for corn and soybeans in the Midwest, particularly in Illinois, this county ARC, this county revenue program, is most likely to be the most effective program for farmers. But you're still going to want to run through numbers, and you're still going to want to see the final sort of forecasts and estimates that you can. And the other part of that decision is, as we were discussing here, it's not a year-by-year decision. Once you choose the program, you're in it for 5 years. And this price program for corn is using a 370 reference price that doesn't change. And so you need to be pretty bearish about where prices are going to be, not just this year. And we've seen the markets come down, but you need to think that for the next 5 years, you're going to see really low prices before that program would appear to be as effective as the county revenue program for corn and soybeans in the Midwest. But it's early still. We got to see not only the final regulations, but we got to see kind of where this harvest ends up and a lot of those estimates before we'd want to be more confident about anything too generalized.
Now, you have cautioned that it is early, but do you project seeing 2014 payouts?
Everything we've seen right now is that there will be payouts in 2014. Almost certainly under the county revenue program. The caveat there being if the yields are as high as some are predicting, that could impact the size of the payment. It may impact in some areas whether a payment's triggered. But on a general basis, the county ARC program is looking like it's going to make payments on corn, probably even more so on soybeans. Remains to be seen on that price program if the prices get down low enough and stay low enough. Individual ARC, I think we're probably in the same boat too, but it's still hard to tell.
And of course, you only get payouts for 2014 if you get in and sign up before the deadline, but there are no deadlines yet, right?
Yeah, deadlines have not been set. Sign-up hasn't even started yet, so we're a little bit ahead of it right now, just trying to sort it all out. You will want to pay attention to when that deadline is on the sign-up. FSA will give a specific date on when the sign-up closes, and these decisions have to be made by that deadline, so you've got to get into FSA. We expect it's going to be into 2015, so it's not like it's going to end right away, but it could start during harvest, which is going to give some folks some heartburn. But you want to get in because there are consequences if you don't. You will be enrolled in the PLC program and you will lose any 2014 payments if you don't sign up by this deadline. So we want to encourage everybody to pay attention to that, and we'll have to do a little homework here in the fall and winter to better understand which program is going to work best.
Again, that was Jonathan Kappas with the University of Illinois Department of Agriculture and Consumer Economics. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.